hey, Jaya Jaya Madhavatai.
Hansa Paramacharya, also Feta, Sutashi, Shimad, Divine Grace, Abaya, Janana, Navatavananda, Gosami, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Anandakoti, Voishnav, Vrindi Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas, Thakur Kijai, Bremse, Kaho, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, She'd wait to get out, ha, she was city gore, rocked out, ran in the guitar, she rather good snap. Go pick up and last, I am couldn't radicunda, giddy, go over down, kijai, vrinda, vadam, kijai, maturidam, kijai. Check out the Sami, kajai, you want to my kajai, shimali lassi, Davy kajai, some of it, bhakta, vrinda, kajai. Go, premananda. Haribol, all glorious, the assembled devotees, all glorious, the assembled devotees. All glorious, the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premananda. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna, Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Padanta Swamini Tinamani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha, Deja Tarani. So, we're very happy to see everybody back to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then we'll offer our obeisances. Om Magana Timidanta Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my divine spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorancia. So, on that happy note, let us continue to go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just one little announcement. I know we asked for prayers for one of my disciples, Shama Balabha, and sadly, she passed away. I think about 12 hours ago, she passed away from COVID. And her daughter or daughters were around her chanting the holy name. So she passed away with the holy name in her ears, and she passed away and she's with Krishna. So that happened in Suba at CWM Hospital. So, and there's a number of other devotees in Fiji with COVID right now, including Gokul Bandhu and others, but no one's in critical condition as far as I know. So anyway, pray for all the devotees who have COVID and so that they can recover very, very quickly. It's a very serious illness for some. Depending on your health condition, it's a very serious illness. Okay, so now we will go to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So, of course, this chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this chapter 22, is entitled The Process of Devotional Service, and it's based upon Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatana Goswami in Varanasi. So, let's continue reading. Kamalagi Krishna Bhaje Paya Krishna Rase Kamachari Dasahite Paya Vilashe. When someone engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service for the satisfaction of the senses and instead acquires a taste for serving Krishna, he gives up all of his material desires and willingly offers himself as eternal servant of Krishna. Nivo! Stana bilashi tapasi stitoham tvam praptavan deva munhindra guyam kacham vichinvan api divyo ratnam swamin kritarsmi varam nayache. A famous verse. When he was being blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj said, O my Lord, Because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe types of penance and austerity. Now I've gotten you, who are very difficult for the great demigods, saintly persons, and kings to attain. I was searching after a piece of glass, but instead I found the most valuable jewel. Therefore, I am so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benediction. Actually, let me put the volume a little higher for you. That's already high. Can't get any higher than that. Okay. So, with any benediction from you, Lord. So, Krishna Maharaj, he wanted a great kingdom, as we've mentioned many times before, greater than that of Lord Brahma. And when Lord Vishnu finally appeared after Dhruva Maharaj did so many austerities, in fact, you know, giving up breathing even, what to speak of eating and sleeping, then Dhruva Maharaj was actually so enamored to see the Supreme Lord, and he became a pure devotee. So he gave up the ideas that he had, the ideas that were actually stimulating him or impelling him or helping him or focusing him on his austerities. So he gave up the idea of his austerities. He gave up the idea of the goal of his austerities, and because he was in love with Krishna. So what does this mean? That while we start devotional service, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, generally people come to Krishna consciousness, chaturvidala pajanti mam, because of four basic reasons. One is they are looking for wealth. Krishna, oh my Lord, please give me wealth. Or they're inquisitive. What's it all about? Or they're actually looking for knowledge. They're dedicated to knowledge. Or they're in distress. Help, God. Actually, what is it? There's a saying that there's no atheists in the foxholes. Now, if you don't know what a foxhole is, it doesn't refer to a hole that a fox digs in the ground. It refers to a particular phenomena at wartime when soldiers from opposing armies are shooting at each other. They dig these big trenches in the ground to protect themselves from the incoming mortars. Mortar is not something you grind grain on, but it's like an explosive bullet, big giant bullet. Something like a grenade, a hand grenade that's shot. And so that's a foxhole. So when the bullets are flying, when the hand grenades are coming in, when the mortars are being shot, people don't forget God. Even if they were atheists before, they say, oh my God, God, please. They want to hedge their bets. So anyway, so people come to Krishna for four basic reasons. But once they come to Krishna and they perform devotional service and associate with a pure devotee, then those reasons fade away. And all they want to do is please the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they've imbibed the bhakti lata bij from the lips of the pure devotee. This verse is from the Hari Bhakti Shudal Doya, 7:28. It's a famous verse. Samsara Brahmate Gunabhagye Kehantare Nadira Pravahe Yena Kashta Lagetire. The conditioned souls are wandering throughout the different planets in the universe, entering various species of life. By good fortune, one of these souls may somehow or other be delivered from the ocean of nations, just as one of the many big logs in a flowing river may by chance reach the bank. Wow. So they're unlimited conditioned souls who are bereft of Lord Krishna's service, not knowing how to cross the ocean of nescience. They are scattered by the waves of time and tide. However, some are fortunate to contact devotees. And by this contact, they are delivered from the ocean of nescience, just as a log floating down a river accidentally washes upon the bank. Maiva mama namashapi shaliva chuta darshanam riyamana kalanaja vachitarati kaschana. Because I am so fallen, whoops, I shall never get a chance to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was my false apprehension. Rather, by chance, a person as fallen as I may get to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although one is being carried away by the waves of the river of time, one may eventually reach the shore. Of course, this verse was from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.38.5 and was spoken by Akrura. So actually, it's important to realize this, because I am so fallen, I shall never get a chance. So this is lamentation. It's not depression. You mentioned this in class. I was asking Mother Emerald a question about this in class. It's lamentation. So what that lamentation does in this particular case, it causes one to increase the intensity of desire. In other words, when you're lamenting, I have not gotten it, I'm so unqualified, then your intensity, your focus on what you want increases exponentially, and the price of pure devotional service is lolyum. If you don't know what lolyum is, that is greed. I know I pronounced it wrong. It is greed. So in this material world, we are greedy. In fact, greed for material things is the cause of deviation from Krishna consciousness, according to Rupa Goswami. I want this. I must have it. I must have it. I must possess it. That's greed. But greed for Krishna, or pleasing Krishna, really, pure devotional greed is the greed for pleasing Krishna. I want Krishna to be happy with me. I want Krishna to be happy with me. And that brings one pure devotional service very quickly. So if one laments that they don't have devotional service or pure devotional service, then the greed increases at that point. It's not about you, it's about what you're missing. But when one is depressed, it's all about me feeling sorry for myself. There's a difference, a vast difference between feeling sorry for yourself and intensely wanting something and falling short, but increasing that intensity at every moment. Bhagye Karaksam Sara Krishnon Mukahaya Saru Sange Tavi Krishna Rati Upajaya. By good fortune, one becomes eligible to cross the ocean of nations, and when one's term of material existence decreases, one may get an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. By such association, one's attraction to Krishna is awakened. Wow. So the key is Brahmanda Pramate Kona Boglu Huan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Vai Bhakti Lata Beach. That the living entity is wandering and he has a slight inclination to try to get out and find the absolute truth. Then Krishna sends Guru. And the Guru gives the disciple this Bhakti Lata Beach. That means the seed of the creeper of devotion. The seed of the creeper of devotion is not given by Krishna. One can chant Krishna's names for a long period of time. And of course, that's Namabhas, which is very, very wonderful. It gives one liberation. But Namabhas chanting does not give one love of Krishna. No. Love of Krishna only comes when you're actually engaged in chanting under the direction, having heard the holy name from a pure devotee. So what is the symptom of spiritual advancement. What is the proof? You know, so many people are chanting. I talk to many people and they're chanting Hare Krishna. They may have this guru, that guru, who's not Krishna conscious. And of course we have, or I have a guru who's very Krishna conscious, completely, 100%, Srila Prabhupada. But the symptom that their guru is B-O-G-U-S, bogus. Bogus, bogus. Anyway, the B-O-G-U-S, the symptom that he's bogus. That's an interesting word, bogus, boga. Boga means enjoyment. Thus, he makes everybody entangled. So the symptom that he's bogus is that people don't become detached. Yep. As it stated in the Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayad Ohitakam. The actual symptom of advancement in devotional service. Now, people ask me this question all the time. How could I tell I'm advanced? Well, Janayati Asu Vairagyam, that the things you had a taste for before become tasteless. How can you tell you're growing up? And I gave this example the other day, that you don't want to play with blocks anymore. Or little dolls, if you happen to be girls. Or you don't want to play with mud pies. Or you don't want to play in the sandbox. Which is kind of dirty even for kids to play in the sandbox because the cats do certain things in the sandbox. But anyway, apart from that, it's a symptom that you're growing. Don't you understand that? Symptom that you're growing older as you give up the toys that you played with. It's a simple thing. So the symptom that you're getting Krishna conscious or spiritual is the material things no longer have a taste for you, or you no longer have a taste for them. Simple, simple. That's a no-brainer. Duh. So we find people, getting back to the point, who are chanting, but they don't have the association of a pure devotee. Whether it's a, you know, whoever they have the association, and therefore they don't grow up. It's Peter Pan again. You know, never grow up, never grow up, never grow up. So the important thing is to have the association of pure devotee, and then things that were previously very tasty for you are not tasty. I mean, let's give another example. Like when we were young, there's this type of baby food called Gerbers. Anyone's heard of Gerbers? Gerbers is this like blended up food, like you get Gerber's spinach. I don't know if they have that. It's like blended up spinach. Yuck. And the little baby's eating, oh, mommy, very good. But when you grow up and someone offers you a can or bottle or however it comes of Gerber's baby food, you go, this is stupid. What are you trying to do? Insult me? You think I'm going to eat baby food again? So that's a symptom that your guru is bona fide if you're following the practices and principles given by the guru, as the things that previously you had some taste of are not tasty anymore. That's right. It's like when you're diseased, you can't taste certain things. And when you get well, you taste other things like that. Anyway, so enough of that. So that's a symptom that you've run into a bona fide guru. And if you're not getting detached, either you're not performing devotional service properly, or you don't have a bona fide guru. One of the two. But don't blame the guru if you're not following the instructions. That is your fault. It takes two to tango. You have to have bona fide guru and bona fide disciple. transmission of spiritual energy. Whoops, what happened? Whoa. Actually, skipped ahead. Yeah, here it is. Okay, that's it. Very, very important. Okay. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this point. Is this bhagya fortune the result of an accident or something else? In the scriptures, devotional service and the pious activity are considered fortunate. Pious activities can be divided into three categories. Pious activities that awaken one's dormant Krishna consciousness are called bhakti unmukhi sukri. Pious activities that bestow material opulence are called bhogon. There's the bhoga again. Just like we say, a bogus guru is bhoga, bogus. I said, you know, it's bogus because he's encouraging bhoga. Bogus, bhoga. Bhogan mukti, mukhi, sorry. Bhogan mukhi, sukriti. And pious activities that enable living entity to emerge into the existence of the Supreme are called mokshan mukhi, sukriti. These last two awards of pious activity are not actually fortunate. Pious activities are fortunate when they help one become Krishna conscious. The good fortune of bhakti yunmukhi is attainable only when one comes in contact with a devotee, pure devotee, by associating with a devotee willingly or unwillingly. Oh my God, there's a key right there. Prabhupada says willingly or unwillingly. Wow. One advances in devotional service and thus one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. Just like I've given the example the first time I heard Prabhupada, I was listening to the radio. So I didn't will to listen to Prabhupada then, now I do. But it happened unwillingly. And I associated with Prabhupada through sound vibration. And then my Krishna consciousness was awakened. My whole life changed. I became a different person. My parents could not even recognize me. I turned to golden color. No, I didn't. Just making that up. So, anyway. So all you got to do is hear the sound vibration from a pure devotee and you've achieved perfection. Sadhu Sangha Sarva, Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Bhavapavargo Brahmato Yada Bhavaj Janashatar Yatshuta Satsamagamaha Satsangamo Yari Dadaiva Satgatao Paravareshe Twai Jayate Ratahi. O my Lord, O infallible Supreme Person, when a person wandering throughout the universes becomes eligible for liberation from material existence, he gets an opportunity to associate with devotees. Okay. When he associates with devotees, his attraction for you is awakened. You are the Supreme Personality of God and the highest goal, the topmost devotees and the Lord of the universe. Quotation from Bhagavatam 10:51-53. So, in other words, to create good fortune for others, we really have to give people Krishna Upadesh, association with devotees. In other words, we should be devotees. Prabhupada said, pure devotee is one who follows strictly. Of course, there's many definitions of pure devotee. Like, you know, obviously, Prabhupada is on a different level, what we mean by pure devotee. But Prabhupada said, if you follow strictly, you will functionally, that means you will function as a pure devotee, even though you're not ontologically a pure devotee, still you will function because you're carrying out the order of the pure devotee like that, as like a postal, Prabhupada called it a postal peon. A peon means like a low class, you know, just like a servant type of person. That's what they used to call postmen before. Now you don't say postman, even in America, you say postperson. Of course, the word post means he was, like posthumous. At least someone passed away.
Anyway, it's a play on words. Krishna yadi kripakare kona bhagyavane guru antaryami rupe shikhaya apane. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within. When he is kind to some fortunate conditioned soul, he personally gives him lessons so he can progress in devotional service, instructing the person as the super soul within and the spiritual master without. So in other words, the super soul, Krishna, gives us instruction from within and from without, from the spiritual master. So we take the spiritual master's instructions as coming from Krishna. Naivo payantyapa jatim kavayastavesha brahmayusya chapikritam ridamudas marantaha yantarva histanu vritam ashubam vidul van acharya chaitya vapusha Swagatim Vyanati. Oh, my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with a prolonged lifetime of Brahma. For you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Super Soul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to see you. I'll come to you. We already talked about that. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29:6. It was spoken by Uddhava after he'd been instructed in yoga by Sri Krishna. Sadhu Sange Krishna Vakje Shralayade Hoya Bhakti Phala Prema Hoya Samsarayaya Kshaya. By associating with a devotee, one awakens his faith and devotional service to Krishna. Because of devotional service, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, and thus one's material conditioned existence comes to an end. So that's the same thing. When you have love for Krishna, other things are not as important anymore in proportion to that love. Yep. Even in the material world, if one is in love, then other things sort of recede into the background. Of course, in the material world, it's for some time, and the other things like pop out after 6 months anyway. But spiritually, it doesn't happen like that, that the love goes on increasing exponentially with every single moment. Yadrachyamat katado jatashadastu yapuman Nanirvino nati shakto bhakti yoga ksha siddhi daha. Somehow or other, if one is attracted to talks about me and has faith in the instructions I have set forth in the Bhagavad Gita, and if one is neither falsely detached from material things nor very much attracted to material existence, his dormant love for me will be awakened by devotional service. So, you know, false detachment means to think yourself detached, but it's the desire is there and you're not admitting it to yourself or to others. And guess what? If you don't admit it to yourself or to others, it pops out. Boom. So one can go on for 10 years, 20 years like that. But ultimately, it pops out. If you think or display false detachment, you know, people think so much of themselves. Oh, I'm very renounced. I'm very Krishna conscious. But actually, it may not be. And if you think you're very Krishna conscious, you ain't anyway, because the one who is actually Krishna conscious thinks he doesn't have a smidgen of love for Krishna. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:28 was spoken by Krishna at the time of his departure from the material world. It was spoken to Uddhava. Mahat kripa vina karuna karma bhakti naya Krishna bhakti dure raho samsara nahi kshaya. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, one cannot attain the platform of devotional service. To say nothing of Krishna bhakti, one cannot even be relieved from the bondage of material existence. In other words, you've got to have a pure devotee. So what is a pure devotee? Someone with no other desire than to please Krishna. Not someone who is simply liberated from the material entanglement. Not someone who has mystic powers. No. A pure devotee is a pure devotee. What does that mean? Pure means no impurities, right? Pure, no impurities. What are the impurities? Jnana, karma, and avartam. Impurities are desire for something for oneself, or even desiring liberation to get out. There's subtle and gross and spiritual impurities, right? There's spiritual impurities. When you're thinking of yourself spiritually, thinking of liberation, that's a spiritual impurity. So anyway, that's a pure devotee. Okay, that's how you identify a pure devotee. One who is dedicated to satisfying Krishna, who understands that Krishna is a person, that satisfying Krishna is not simply a step or a stepping stone on the way to spiritual perfection. It is the goal. Not that you give it up. Oh, I become perfect now. I don't have to worship Krishna anymore. Garbage. Hogwash. It's a bunch of BS. Pious activities bring about material opulence, but one cannot acquire devotional service by any amount of material pious activities. Not by giving charity, opening big hospitals or schools, and or working philanthropically. Devotional service can be attained only by the mercy of a pure devotee. Without a pure devotee's mercy, one cannot even escape the bondage of material existence. The word mahat in this verse means a pure devotee, as Lord Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita. Very, very, very famous verse. Everyone should try to learn this verse. Okay. Mahatmanas tumam partha divam prakutimashuta prajanchananya vandaso gyatva bhutadam aviyam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. One has to associate with such a Mahatma. Mahatma. Atma means person or soul. Maha means great. Who has accepted Krishna as the supreme source of the entire creation. Without being a Mahatma, one cannot understand Krishna's absolute position. A Mahatma is rare and transcendental. And he is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. There's that pure devotee again. Foolish people consider Krishna a human being, and they consider Lord Krishna's pure devotee an ordinary human being also. Whatever one be, one must take shelter at the lotus feet of a devotee Mahatma and treat him as the most exalted well-wisher of all human society. We should take shelter of such a Mahatma and ask for his causeless mercy. Only by his benediction can one be relieved from attachment to the materialistic way of life. When one is thus relieved, he can engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service through the mercy of the Mahatma. So that's the point. How do you get the mercy? You please the person. It's quite simple. How do you know how to please? Listen. Because how do you know how to please someone? They tell you. Someone comes to me and says, what would please you? And I tell them. What would please me is you chant Hare Krishna properly. Rahuganite, this is very famous verse here. Rahuganite tapasana yati na chejiya nirapanad grahad ba nachandasanaiva jalagni suryar vina mahatpada rajavu vishekam. I quote this verse quite often. O King Rahugana, without taking upon one's head the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, a Mahajana or Mahatma, one cannot attain devotional service. Devotional service is not possible to attain simply by undergoing severe austerities and penances, by gorgeously worshiping the deity, or by strictly following the rules and regulations of the sannyasa grahastha order, nor is it attained by studying the Vedas, submerging oneself in water, or exposing oneself to fire or scorching sunlight. Famous verse from the Bhagavatam. This verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Jadavart herein tells King Rahugana how he attained the Paramahamsa stage. Maharaj Rahugana, the king of Sindhu and Sauravira, had asked Jadavart how he had attained the Paramahamsa stage. The king had called him to carry his palanquin. But when the king heard from the Paramahamsa Jadavarta about the supreme philosophy, he expressed surprise and asked Jadavarta how he had attained such great liberation. At that time, Jadavarta informed the king how to become detached from material attraction. Detachment is such an important thing. So, of course, the story is Jadavarta is the third incarnation of Bharat Maharaj. Here's the story really quickly. Bharat Maharaj was the king. Okay, good. Son of Lord Vrishabhadev. And he renounced everything and turned the kingdom over to some others, probably his son. And he was a great devotee on the stage of Bhava and went to the forest and meditated. But as he was meditating, he became very attached to a baby deer, because the mother of the deer had died. So he took care of the baby deer, he was kissing the baby deer all the time. And even when he was saying his Gayatri Mantra, he was thinking of the baby deer, he was snuggling up with the baby deer. And so became very attached. So one day the baby deer didn't show up. And where's my deer? So he went to look for his deer and somehow or other he died. Feeling separation from my baby deer. I consider a moment to be like 12 years ago. In other words, he neglected his spiritual practices and became absorbed in a sentimental attachment towards a deer. Nothing wrong with taking care of a deer. But if the taking care of the deer supplants one's bhakti, one doing deer bhakti, then forget it. So anyway, so while he died while thinking of the deer in separation, and he took birth as a deer, a little baby deer, bark deer. So anyway, so as a deer, he didn't hang out with the other deer, and he was close to other sages, went by their ashrams, and he was able to avoid too much entanglement as a deer. Next life, he took birth as a person named Jadavarta, means Dumbarta. And the reason he was called Dumbarta is because he didn't want to get entangled again. He didn't want people to give him a position. He didn't want people to arrange his marriage. He didn't want anything. He just wanted to remain dumb so nobody would bother him. And he was so dumb that he did things in the opposite way. He never cleaned properly. He would clean himself before going to the bathroom, not after going to the bathroom, and so many things. He was very much disheveled at a particular point. He was so disheveled, people put him out to be a scarecrow on the fields or in the fields. So eventually he was a palanquin carrier for this King Rahugana. And King Rahugana first started to chastise him because Jadavarta wasn't carrying the palanquin properly. And the reason he wasn't carrying the palanquin properly and the other palanquin carriers, the other three, were doing it properly was because he was trying to avoid stepping on ants, you know, as a Vaishnava would do. And so the king started calling him all sorts of names and Jadavarta started preaching to him. Then the king realized that here I am dealing with a great devotee. I've made a big, big mistake. And so one of Jadavarta's instructions to King Rahugana is that you can't become Krishna conscious. Rahugana tatapasena nayate, by taking sannyas, nor by performing austerities of different types, which he mentions here, like put yourself on fire in summer or ice in the winter, only or by becoming a good grahastha. He goes through a whole list of things. Only by getting the dust of the feet of a pure devotee can one become Krishna conscious. So dust of the feet means association, hearing, basically hearing from a pure devotee. when you hear from a pure devotee, that hearing or sound vibration goes into the heart, which is very, very important. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katata Joshana Dasya Pavargavartmani Shudharatiya Rakina Anukramishati. Okay. Maybe one more verse. Another famous verse. Naisham Tistabada Rukramangri Krishat Janarta Bhagamo Yanarta Mahiyasham Pararajo Vishekam Niskinchanana Navranita Yavad. Unless human society accepts the dust and the lotus feet of great Mahatmas, devotees who have nothing to do with material possessions, mankind cannot turn its attention to the lotus feet of Krishna. Those lotus feet vanquish all unwanted, miserable conditions of material life. In other words, that's essential. Without Mahatmas, there's no Krishna consciousness. It's simply, if someone says, I'm a devotee, and they're not Muhammad, it's simply imitation. It has nothing to do. The person won't become detached. That's a sign that it's a bogus guru, a boga guru, bogus guru. This verse appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32. When the great sage Narada was giving instructions to Maharaj Yudhisthira, he narrated the activities of Prahlad Maharaj. This verse was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to his father, Hiranyakashipu. His father was pretty upset to hear this. The king of demons. Prahlad Maharaj had informed his father of the 9 basic processes of bhakti yoga, explaining that whoever takes to these processes is to be considered a highly learned scholar. Hiranyakashipu, however, did not like his sons to talk about devotional service. Therefore, he immediately called Prahlad's teacher, Sunda. The teacher explained that he had not taught devotional service to Prahlad, but that the boy was naturally inclined in that way. At that time, Hiranyakashipu became very angry and asked Prahlad why he had become a Vaishnava. In answer to this question, Prahlad Maharaj recited this verse to the effect that one cannot become the Lord's devotee without receiving the mercy and blessings of another devotee. Now, the way Prahlad Maharaj received the mercies and blessings of another devotee was that he received the mercies and the blessings of Narada Muni. 753. And how did he receive the blessings of Narada Muni in spite of being born in a demoniac family? Well, when his mother was pregnant, he was in the ashram of Narada Muni because his father had embarked upon harsh austerities to get more power. And so Narada Muni was giving shelter to Kayadu, Prahlad Maharaj's mother. And so while she was in the ashram, she heard Krishna Katha, and Prahlad Maharaj also heard Krishna Katha and got the association of Narada Muni. So that's the story. So we will end today at 53, okay? So now we will stop sharing. And we will allow some of you to ask questions. Hold on a second. We will unmute you or allow you to unmute yourselves. And let me put the chat window so I can see. We have a chat window. Okay. Okay, Mahamantra, you have a question. You're unmuted, or maybe you don't have a question. No, I guess you don't. You are unmuted. I allow everyone to unmute, and you are unmuted. Nope. I can't hear you unless you're speaking. You would come up on the screen if you were speaking. I'd be able to see it. Can't see it. Okay, so who else has a question? Question, comment? Oh, now you're on the screen. Okay. What question do you have? Speak. I can't. It's not showing any sound coming from you. The little microphone here. Let me make sure that I'm able to hear the sound. Yeah. I cannot hear anything. And in the meantime, does someone else have any questions? Yeah, none of you can hear him. So it's his, the problem is at his end. So Does anybody else have any questions? Well, Mama just trying to figure out his microphone. Raise your hands or unmute yourself or type in the text window. Mayapur Chandra.
At my humble obeisances. I just wanted to know what the final verse was today, because that was really good stuff for, I think, preaching.
Okay, final verse today was 53 in the 22nd chapter of the Majalila.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Shama Gashori, who was just initiated, has a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. My question is that even Namabhas cannot give us the love of God. So can you guide how to do how to take the pure Nama and how to get to that?
Okay, one gets the pure Nama, one receives the pure Nama from the pure devotee. Because you can't receive something pure from someone who is impure. And then one chants the pure Nama. According to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, of course, there's avoiding the 10 offenses, which is essential. The 10 offenses on chanting the Lord's holy name. But that's just the negative, what we shouldn't do. But then positively, what we should do, then you study the Shikshashtaka and you follow what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions as to how to chant. And specifically, the verse that I mostly mention and resonate with is Ayananda to Nijakinkaram Patitamam Vishame Bhupam Buddha Kripaya Tavapada Pankaja Stita Dudli Sadrasamba Chintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servitor, but somehow or other I've fallen down into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please fix me up. Save me from this ocean of death and fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And so one has to chant with a desire to please Krishna. Chant out of love. And also follow the instructions of Krishna and Krishna's representative. And then one chants the pure name. We've gotten the pure name by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives. And then one has to chant in a pure fashion, trying to please Krishna. In other words, the chanting should be done in a mood of trying to please Krishna. Not something that you want. Oh, Krishna, please give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Swami Jaya Jagadisha Hari. So that's how one chants the pure name, the Shuddha Nam. Okay, Guru Seva has a question. Hare Krishna Gurudev. Thank you. You mentioned that a price of pure devotional service is greed. Greed means you want something. And it means pure devotional service. I want to come to the point where I have no other desire other than to please Krishna. I want to please Krishna. I really want to please Krishna. So greed means like a little child who is basically throwing a fit to get what he or she wants. I've seen sometimes children, if you don't give them what they want, they actually make your life completely miserable. Some of you have children, some of you are parents, will understand this. So in other words, one has to just like, I must have, I must have, I must have. Basically, you have to nag Krishna for pure devotional service. Like a little kid nags his or her parents, you have to nag Krishna. So that's greed. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. I must have it, I must have it, I must have it, I must have it. And of course, that greed has to be tempered with patience, utsahan, and enthusiasm, nishyed, dharyat, determination. Enthusiasm, all these things have to temper the greed, because if you just have greed without patience, that greed is passion. And then when you don't get what you want, if you're not patient, you get angry. Why did you give me pure devotional service, Krishna? I've been serving you all these years, and what do I have to show for it, Krishna? I am really upset. So that's the answer to that question. So who else has a question? Raise your hand or unmute yourself or type. It's almost time anyway. All right. If no one else has a question, excuse me, then I guess we'll end here. Okay. Yes, that's it. We'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.